More than awesome. Oh, goodness gracious. Praise the King. Before we get started in the message today, I just want to read one little set of verses to you. This is a preliminary into what we're going to do today. I mean, I'm sitting down and listening to all these magnificent songs. And the reason I'm going to do this is because earlier today I spoke in another place. And we taught the Word of God and tried to build a few people's faith. Right after the service was over, they were getting ready to leave. One of the gentlemen collapsed out in the hall. Somebody come in and said, "Thurman, you need to come out here and pray for this guy." So I go out there and I get down on him and I pray over him, quote the Word of God and said, "Get up, brother, you're healed in the name of Jesus." And he gets up and stands up. And he stands up, one of the ladies says, "That's okay, we've already called 911. I said, "He don't need 911. But in just a little while, here comes the 911 ambulance and two police cars. And I thought, boy, if this ain't something, what a testimony for God. Out there in church, right at the main entry for a big church, an ambulance and two police cars. Wow. And here we got the King of the universe, and we don't believe him. Oh, man, do we not believe him. Well, let me tell you. Maybe I'm pumped up because of what I heard. Sid Roth, this last week, I got Sid Roth. Of course, y'all know, most of you know, we were invited to come up to Sid Roth three or four years ago now. And he had me on television up there, and I told him the magnificent story about Caitlin and how he's aired that all over the world. And so this last week, he sent me tape of the month. And of course, he sends me tape of the month every month. And the other night, while I'm reading and studying and doing some things, I put this on because, I like to be, multifunctional. Like to just do one thing. I like to do more than one thing at a time because I have the mind of Christ. I can do several things at one time. So I'm doing things and all kinds of stuff, reading emails, and I'm listening to this tape at the same time. And I thought, wow, is this good? A preacher up in Oklahoma. I mean, right close to home. I found out that this church up there in Oklahoma, they had a nursery, and one of the little children climbed up on something and fell off on her head on the concrete and was pronounced dead. Nobody called 911. They went and got the mother. A paramedic come in and said, "This child's dead." It's okay. She picked up her child and walked right into the service and said, "Pastor, here's my baby. Raise him from the dead." Now, what kind of a faith does that mama have? We need a few more people like that. And that pastor prayed over that baby, and guess what that baby did? Came back from the dead and is alive and well today. I thought, yeah! Lord, do we serve a mighty God? All we got to have is some people that believe in this King. Don't, my goodness, you preach an hour and 15 minutes, or an hour and 30 minutes on faith and everything else, and then a man walks outside the class and falls down, and what do they do? Call 911. No, but there was only one woman called 911. The rest of them come and got me and said, "Come out here and pray for him." I thought, wonder why they don't pray for him. Hey, what's wrong with you? Oh, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, you need to get in the Word. Listen to what the King says here. I want you to turn to Psalms 50. I'm fired up today already. Praise God. I mean, I've been up early this morning, and I'll tell you, I am fired up. I went to bed late last night, and I went to bed with the Word of God and woke up with it this morning. And all I've done has been in the Word all day. Praise the King. And then we're up here singing these songs, and I want you to... Psalms 150 starts off with a little thing, says, "Praise the Lord." Psalms 150. Psalms 150. The very first statement in Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Now, you know, we are the sanctuary of God. Now, we may look at this like this little warehouse is the sanctuary of God, but this is not, this is just a building. We are the sanctuary of God. In fact, this young gentleman over here, one time, I think one of the first times he came to my service over here, he came up here and I said, "You reckon God's going to show up today?" And you know what he said to me? "I know He's going to show up because I brought Him with me." He may not even remember that, but I do. Praise God. He said He showed up today because I brought Him with me. And I thought, well, there's a man that knows who he is in Christ. Yeah. So he is. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. You think God likes for us to praise Him? He likes to be praised. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Did you see me dancing up here a while ago? Why do you think I was dancing? I was being obedient to the King. Praising Him with dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, if you're not dead, stand up and let's praise Him a minute before we even get into the service. Stand up and just worship the King. What a privilege to know the King. Lord, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for being our King. Lord, we worship You. Glory to God. Oh, Father, we praise You and worship You and thank You. You're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. Lord, we worship You and we praise You and we thank You, Lord. You are the King of kings. Lord, we give You praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving because You're the King, the mighty God. The Lord, You're the God that made the heavens and the earth. You're the King of the universe. Lord, You made everything. You made us. And You saved us. And You set us free. And You're our God and our Lord and our King. And we can do all things with You. And nothing's impossible with us. Because of what You did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago. We want You to know today, Lord, we worship You and we praise You. And we thank You. And Lord, we're worshiping You. Oh, God. I love You and praise You and thank You for the privilege to woke up this morning and I can hear, see, smell, taste, and feel. Lord, I have all my five physical senses, but Lord, that profits me little, but I thank You that I have faith in You and trust You and I know the Word and I have the Word hidden in my heart so that with it, nothing is impossible. And Lord, thank You for the abundant life that You've given us, the abundant life. Not just life, but abundant life is ours. Praise the King. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to the name of Jesus. Now, praise God. If you can sit down, you can sit down. If you can't, that's okay. You can stay standing. It doesn't make any difference to me. Whatever you want to do. I'm thinking about these wonderful songs. We fail to come into His sanctuary praising Him and worshiping Him for who He is. He is the King of kings. You know what? When we walk in, you know what we should say? We shouldn't say this. Well, it's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. I can't believe they didn't set the chairs upright today. I can't believe there's not enough water over here today for everybody. Oh. Grumbling and complaining, we do very well. Don't we? But the Lord didn't tell you. There's not one single place in His Word where He ever said for you to come in grumbling. In fact, He told you not to do that. He says, come in worshiping Me and praising Me and thanking Me. I am the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And I'm living in you right here. The King. I got to have Jeff a while ago. He has had a little bit of a tummy on him there. Yep, he stuck that thing out a while ago and said, Thurman, God's in me, and look, I got room for a whole lot more. Well, let me tell you, I think God can fill all of that, Jeff. Don't you?
Amen.
Amen. He can fill all of it if you're willing to let Him. You know, you got to do something. Oh, praise God. You know, we're going to have to learn as a church to do what the King says. And that's what my message is all about today when we get into it in a few minutes. But first of all, before we get into the message, you know, we praise Him and thank Him. Does anybody have a testimony? You want to give a testimony? Who's got a testimony today? Well, good grief, girl. Come up here. What did I do? Oh, here's a mic. Come up here and tell us what God has done for you.
Well, actually, it was my... God did it for my sister-in-law. She was diagnosed from the doctors with a rare disorder called scleroderma and ended up in the hospital. And all the doctors did was they kept pronouncing negative. Everything from that was coming from them was negative. And we kept speaking the positive into the situation. And we asked them if they believed in miracles. And the doctor said, I do, but not in this case. Well, we said, but you don't know our God. For our God is a God of miracles, and He works miracles.
Amen.
And the goal was to get her transferred out of that hospital into another hospital. But, of course, you know, things began to start looking bad, so that's what the devil wants you to believe. But we kept standing on the word that God was going to work a miracle in her life. We got her transferred over to another hospital. We asked the doctor what his belief was. He said, I am a Christian. I am a believer. And in no time, she was on, at the other hospital, she was on life support. They had her on life support and would not allow us to go in, but every so many hours. We started going in and anointing her and walking through the room and praising God and casting out the demons that was surrounded, that they kept coming in, you know, surrounding her, saying, well, she's not going to make it. She's not going to do this. She's not going to do that. But we kept saying, well, our God says this. And our God says that she is going to make it. And she is now off of life support. She's getting ready to go home, and she's eating and she's drinking. And she says, I feel like a new person.
Amen. Praise
so God. God worked a miracle in her life.
Amen.
We have video showing what she was like before, and then we have the after effects.
Amen.
So my God works miracles.
Amen. That's the same God I serve. Praise the King. Come up here, young lady. Tell us what Jesus has done for you.
Well, my husband and I used to come here a lot. We haven't been here in a long time. But when I got pregnant, I have actually two things. When I got pregnant with my son, we started standing on 1 Timothy 2:15. And it says there that if you walk in faith, hope, and love with self-control, you will be spared of childbirth pain. And I had my son pain-free in a hospital, or not in a hospital, with no drugs or anything. And it just goes to show that you can stand on God's word and believe. And I had him with a midwife, and we had no problems or anything. He's been supernaturally healthy, and he's great. Although I did start saying to him, I kept calling him kind of as like a love or a pet name. I kept calling him Boogerhead, just kind of as a joke, just because he was just my little boogerhead. That was my little pet name for him. And all of a sudden, I started noticing that he was getting a lot of boogers. And I was really getting kind of grossed out about it. I was like, what is wrong with him? And one day I was like, you little boogerhead. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm speaking boogers over my son. So I quit speaking it, and now he doesn't have as many boogers.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Praise the King. You shall have what you say. Deborah, didn't you tell? Oh, we got a lady coming here. Praise the Lord. Come up here, young lady. Glory to God. Step up here and tell us what.
Something that I think is kind of unusual. Just every once in a while in my life, I get just bored. And I think, I'm going nowhere fast, you know. So not long ago, I thought, I am tired of this dead-end street I'm on. And so I told the Lord, I said, I'd like for you to give me divine encounters. When you ask him for something, he really gives them to you. I mean.
Amen.
So, I guess it's been about 2 weeks ago. I live in North Garland. I went to Mesquite to a health food store over there, which has a couple of things that I like. And on the way back, I thought, I'm just going in here to Brahms and get a gallon of milk. I went in, got the milk, set it on the counter. This lady was just around the other side, came around. She didn't go to the cash register. She started writing on the back of a receipt. I didn't know this woman. Never seen her before. And she said, I'd like for you to pray for these two little boys. Well, how did you know that I am a prayer warrior? I don't know, but anyhow, it was Max, who was five, and Memphis, who was 7 months old, and the doctor wasn't expecting them to live because they had a bacterial infection of some sort. The baby's arms had already started turning blue. And I looked at her, and her name tag was Tammy. I said, Tammy, in Matthew 18:19, it says, if any two on earth agree, etc. And I said, I serve a God that's nothing too hard for him. And you're one, and I'm two. And so I come against the enemy in Jesus' name, and I command him to get out of the body of those two little boys and go to dry places where he belongs. I told him off. And then I said, Lord, nothing's too hard for you, so I speak total health and restoration to those two little boys in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, I tend to preach, so about 30 seconds there, she and I was really going at it. But I never saw this woman before. That was a divine encounter, I mean.
Amen.
And so Frances, I told her, I've told two or three people about this, and it was like, ho-hum, just went right over their head, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so I told Frances, and she knows, so she said, have you been back over there to see if the little boys is healed? I said, I don't have to go back over there to see if those little boys are healed. They are healed.
Amen.
And that was just the last encounter I had. So we don't have time for you to tell about all for me to tell about all the rest of them back. But God is an awesome God.
Yes, He is. Praise God. What I say, God. We can praise the King, that's for sure. My honey bunny's got one. Praise
Actually,
God.
Wendy's not here, so I'm going to give Wendy's testimony of a praise report.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Last Friday, a phone call came that was a hysterical grandmother. Her grandson was being care flighted to the hospital, and she was screaming and everything. And so Kathy, the receptionist, handed it over to Wendy because there wasn't anybody there at the time to pray. And so Wendy took over. The little boy was 5 months old, and he was, I think, in the backyard, and the babysitter walked away for a second, and he had a poopy diaper, and the dog attacked him because of what he smelled. And he tore part of his testicle off. And so they had care-flighted this baby. So Wendy immediately started praying that he would be totally restored, that everything would, the blood would flow perfectly, which was a really important thing, that he would just supernaturally be healed. So she prayed this wonderful prayer, and when Kathy was telling us, she said, Wendy, just prayed the greatest prayer. She was all excited about it. Okay, so we had Memorial Day. Then on Tuesday, there was like this huge praise report on the answering machine that the little boy, the surgeon said he couldn't believe it, that, you know, the little boy got totally restored, that the blood flowed properly, just like what Wendy prayed, and he was gone home that Tuesday.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What happens when we pray in faith? Brother, you got one? Come up here. Praise God. We give God the glory. This is His business. Come up here and tell us what Jesus does.
My name's Bob Foree. I've got a farm down at Glen Rose, and I can't be there. I don't live there, so I have to have a manager to help me out down there. Well, I've had trouble. The previous manager I had got into methamphetamines, threatened to kill me. Finally got him off the place and got another fellow there. Well, he took the guy I put on the place, took up with the meth guy who was not far down the road. So my wife was afraid for me to even go near the place, you know. I had to go down there and tend to it. So we were pretty upset about all this, and of course we've been praying and on our knees and asking the Lord to help get this thing straightened out.
Amen.
Well, last week the sheriff of the county called and he said, I've got a lieutenant on the force, sheriff's force, and he wants to move out and live on your place.
Amen.
You send us a check down here with a letter saying you fired the guy, and we'll take it out there, we'll get him the check, and we'll get him off the place, and we're going to run this cement guy out of the neighborhood.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Oh, goodness gracious. That story you told me that Miss Ash had, didn't you tell me that story? Okay, yeah, just come on up. Come on up, Deborah.
My wife said I need to tell this. This guy is a lieutenant in the sheriff's department. He's a theology student. He's a Christian preacher with four children that need a place in the country to live. I mean, it's just a total answer to prayer.
Well, absolutely. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Deborah told me a story that somebody had a vision that has been to this church quite a bit, and I want her to tell you what this vision was.
Well, I go to another teaching sometimes with a couple by the name of Dale and Jim Ash, and a lot of people know them. They have a deliverance ministry, and they've been here. And she was telling about a vision that she had seen, and what she described in the vision was she was watching. There was a lady sitting on this side of a doctor's desk, and then there was a doctor, a physician on the other side. And she could see that there were demons standing beside the physician. And as he was looking at the medical records, she saw that one of the demons leaned over and whispered in the doctor's ear, tell her she has terminal cancer. So then the doctor comes up and he looks at her and he goes, you have terminal cancer. And the lady goes, oh, I have terminal cancer. And the minute she confessed it, she said she spiritually saw this person's ribs opening up and these demons coming into her. And that every time that this woman would confess and say, I have cancer, that those demons would take one more chunk out of her. So you do not confess it.
Absolutely. Not unless you want to die with cancer, right?
Yeah, and while we were praying and worshiping, I just realized that the Lord reminded me that I'd asked him a couple of weeks ago to heal a herniated disc in my neck because every time I would raise my arm, my hands would go to sleep. And I was raising my arms, and I thought, you know, I'm healed because they're not going to sleep. So he's reminding me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'll turn that off now if we're through. Praise the King. Oh, you want to give yours? Oh, glory to God. Hey, right. Praise the King. We ain't through. Okay. I should have said going once. I didn't say three times.
Well, It got real personal for me on Wednesday of this week. Almost 2 years ago, after I attended maybe half a dozen events here with Thurman, and I'd been taking between 8 and 10 maximum strength Tylenol, Advil, Nuprin, whatever it is per day. So that's 4 or 5 grams of this stuff every day for many, many years. A pain in the back, muscles, joints, football. I always had some excuse for it. And I'd had hay fever since I was about 12. Well, Donna, my wife, said, look, it's about time we start testing this stuff. You know, like we've been listening to Thurman for a while. Do we think, how much of it do we really believe? And I said, well, I have a decision to make. I've watched some people stand up and say, well, I'm going to wait till God heals me, and then I'm going to quit taking the medication. And I said, wait a minute. If I truly believe his word, I will stop taking the medication now, knowing that he has healed me. So I did that, and it's been almost 2 years now without any aspirin, Advil, Tylenol, any kind of over-the-counter or prescription medication. I've sneezed less than 3 times in the last year. That's one. So my faith was getting stronger. And then about a month ago, Don and I had really taken on faith that we were going to do a seminar on leadership in June. So we sent out one message, and it got replicated by so many people that we had over 200 people sign up, and now over 300 people signed up for this Saturday morning thing on leadership and character and trying to put some virtue into organizational leadership and management. So we're starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed by it all, so we set up a dress rehearsal in our living room. We had cables and projectors and screens. We wanted this to be a big success to bring glory to God. And we'd prayed Psalm 91 about a half an hour earlier. That's how we start our day. We read Psalm 91 out loud, either Donna or me. So that was fresh in my mind, and we'd come to Bible study here Tuesday night, the night before. So we were feeling pretty strong in our faith, saying, okay, Father, how do you want us to use this event to bring you glory? And I said, okay, the last thought I had was, I want to do what's right. I want to be righteous. I want to be a good example for these people because they're in very influential positions around this community. So I leaned over and picked up a 15-pound, one of the notebook computers, and I must have twisted a little bit because as I took a half a step, I was driven right to my knees. Literally, I crushed to my knees and I fell into a chair, into a stuffed chair. And I couldn't move my hands, my fingers. I could barely feel my lips able to move, and the first words that came to me is, Father, I trust you completely with my life. I thank you for sending your son, and Jesus, I thank you for paying the price so that I have power over this pain, and I can command it to leave my body. And little by little, I felt feeling in my fingers, I watched my fingers, I could move them. I realized my lips could move. And I said, Donna, she was in the next room on the computer, and I just wanted to let her know I'm okay. And she barely, I don't know if she knew what had happened or not, but I just wanted to let her know I was okay. But I was starting, it took me 3 to 4 minutes to stand tall, completely erect. I left the computer in the chair, and I realized that I was a little tender. I had been through a battle. I had considered what had happened as though Satan had sent his demons knowing what I was trying to accomplish for the Lord, and he was going to take his best shot at me. But I remember the example you shared with us some many months ago, that at one time you had, for whatever reason, you'd felt a pain in your back, and you realized that it was not from the Lord. This is, you demon of hell, you get out. In my case, I just said, I have power over this pain. I command you to leave. If there's a demon present, I command you to go to the feet of Jesus where he will deal with you as he wishes. He is the ultimate judge. That's how I dealt with it at the time. And my strength was restored. And why I'm sharing the event is because my faith was strengthened and renewed by the experience. So I don't regret the pain. It renewed my faith, and for that I'm grateful, and that's why I'm sharing it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Now then, praise the Lord. Going once, going twice, going three times. Okay, got them all this time. Praise the King. And I'm telling you, when you get a hold of what's going on and what you can do, it makes normal going to church dull. You know, normal church is really dull. I mean, when you go to church where Jesus shows up, it's exciting.
Wow.
It's exciting. But there are some requirements to walk here. Just like earlier, a man asked me a question. He said, what do you think about the Mavericks last night? I said, sir, I was in the Word of God till 1 o'clock this morning. I didn't have time to watch the Mavericks. You want the anointing to flow through you. You don't spend 2 or 3 hours watching a bunch of guys. Mavericks, who are they? I don't know really what they do. I started to say, I think they play, I don't know if they play baseball, basketball, or what they do. I don't know what they do. I don't watch them. But now then, if you want to know, it's just like the first time I was, well, not the first time, but one time years ago, I went to Kansas City when I was still working for a living. That's before I retired. Walked up there on the dock on Monday morning, the guy said, Scribner, what do you think about, I forget which one, or Troy Aikman or whoever, not what Aikman, it was Roger Staubach, that's who it was. He said, what do you think about your man Staubach? I thought a minute and I said, Staubach. I said, I'm sorry, sir, I don't know anybody by the name of Staubach. He said, you from Dallas? I said, yes, sir. And you don't know Roger Staubach? I said, no, sir. He said, you didn't watch the playoffs yesterday and see what he did? I said, no, I don't watch television. And you don't know who Roger Staubach is? I said, no, who is he? He said, he's a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I said, oh, I was probably in the Word. That's why I don't know him. I wasn't spending my hours watching a football game. I spent my hours in the Word of God. And hey, that's where I got today. I didn't get where I am today watching the Dallas Cowboys, because I read the book. Now let me show you what the book says. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless what we're going to do today. I want to thank you for all these wonderful testimonies of what you've done and your grace and mercy for us. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now then, we're going to go to Mark chapter 8. We're going to start out with verse 34. Mark 8:34. Get your sword out. The Lord just quickened my heart with a story. A lady called me one time, and I had made a statement, I'm going to be in Albuquerque teaching the Word. There's a church that had invited me to come out there because they watched me on Daystar television, but the pastor was a Baptist, and it was a Baptist church, and he wouldn't let me have it in the church, so they had rented a hotel suite downtown for me to have it in, so I couldn't have it in the church. So anyway, that's okay. So anyway, I made an announcement on television. I was going to be out there, and a lady called me, and she said, I understand you're coming to Albuquerque, and you said you're going to be at a certain hotel. I said, yes, ma'am, that's right. She said, I just live down the street. She said, I'd love to come hear you. I said, well, it's open, ma'am. Anybody can come. I said, you're welcome. But I said, be sure and bring your sword. I thought everybody knew what the sword was. So I get out there, and there's a lady comes in, and she walks in, and she says, sir, could you come out to the car with me? My husband's sitting out in the car. I said, okay. So I walked out there, and she said, now, I've been to a lot of churches, but I've never been to a healing school. And I didn't know, said the only sword I had was the one my daddy had when he was in the military, and I brought it. What am I supposed to do with this? And I just fell over laughing. I said, ma'am, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And she said, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know what you meant when you said, bring your sword. So, if you don't know what I mean when I say get out your sword, it's the Word of God. Get it out. Let me open it up to Mark chapter 8, verse 34, because I want you to see what the Lord said in here. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, they also, he said unto them, he's talking to everybody, whosoever, that's you and me, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do you see anywhere in there where it says go home at night and sit down and watch 4 hours of the Mavericks? What does it say do? Deny yourself. What does this flesh want to do? It wants to go home and watch the Mavericks. It wants to go home and watch the Cowboys. It wants to go down to the domino hall and play dominoes, you know, and drink soda pop or beer and popcorn or something. It wants to do things that pleases it. But the Lord says here, whoever will come after me. I don't know about you, but I want to come after the King. I love to see God do wonderful things. And he don't do wonderful things if you don't come after him. He says, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You know, the only thing wrong with us when you were baptized, said we were buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. The only problem is when we baptize people, we don't hold them down long enough to kill them. That's the only problem. We need to hold you down about 10 minutes. And then when we bring you up and bring you back from the dead, you've already spent probably a couple of minutes in hell by this time, and you're ready to serve the King now. You get a real picture of what's going on. It's amazing, the spirit world, of what's going on in the spirit world. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. So if you put God first, you have never lived until you put God first. I think about a man the other day I was talking to. And he said, you know, I was unsaved for a long time. I had a lot of fun. And then I got saved. I listened to him a minute and I said, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. I said, you thought you were having fun in the world. And then you got saved, and now you think you don't have no fun. I said, I got saved when I was 11, and I didn't have any fun. But when I got saved, I said, there ain't nothing like serving Jesus as far as having fun. It's like that woman that told me one time, I walked in, she said, Thurman, there's a man in our church who got saved yesterday, and he was 65 years old. I said, well, praise God, you know, that he finally got saved. She said, doesn't that make you feel cheated? I said, ma'am, you don't even know my Jesus. You may go to church, but you are totally living in the world. You think that guy had fun for 65 years and he's living in the pit of hell and I'm living in the kingdom of God and you think I'm cheated? I said, that man's the one that was cheated, not me. But that's the way we look at it. Oh, to get saved, I'll have to go to church. I'll have to tithe. Hey, if you want to live in the devil's world and somebody says, man, I lived out there and I made, and how many times have I heard people say this? I wasn't saved and I made $250,000 a year. I say, how much of it you got left? You know what they tell me? None. None. Having trouble making my house payment. Well, what's wrong? You didn't serve God, did you? Well, no. I did make a lot of money. You know, you could, there is some people out there that don't know God. I guarantee you could give them $1 million a year. And they'd not have a dime left at the end of the year. You know that? But you can take a Christian and give him $50,000 a year. And he'll learn how to manage and serve God. And God will bless his socks off. And when that man gets ready to really get into his later years, that man will be so blessed. Everything he's got is paid for. He's got money in the bank. He don't have to depend on nobody but God. And he did it all on a little menial job. But that man tithed. That man went to church. That man put God first. And he is blessed and living the abundant life. It can't fail. God said it in his word. But most people don't believe it. Anytime somebody called me and said, I need a financial blessing, I say, you're not putting God first. You're not serving the King. You're not doing what He said. Because if you are, He said He'll bless you. See? We're the problem, not God. God will bless us if we'll do what He says. But He knows you. He lives with you. You can come to church and tell me anything, but you take Him home with you. And I don't go with you, but He does. You know, there's some of you in this room and some people I know that if I stayed with them 24/7, I could make men and women out of them. I could control what they do and the money they spend. And I guarantee I can, if I had the time to walk beside them 24/7 in 1 year, I guarantee I can take a man or a woman that cannot make it from day to day. And if I had the privilege to walk with them 24/7 and show them how to pray and to stay in the Word of God, I guarantee there's not a human being I can't change their life in 1 year. But you know what kind of dedication it takes to walk with that person? I don't have that kind of time. But if you'll get them in the Word, God has that kind of time and He will stay with you. If you'll get in this book and do what He says, and I'm going to guarantee you, it's not going to be easy. The flesh is going to rebel. Your worst enemy is this beast that you live in. It's your worst enemy. Look what he says. In verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Just think. What if somebody came along and gave you or made you a wager? If you will give up your salvation, I will give you $1 billion. Some people take them up on that, Sharon. Those that don't know Jesus. I mean, those that even know Jesus that really don't know who he is. Did you know if you were to come to me and say, Thurman, I will make you the CEO of the whole world and everybody will bow down and worship you until you come to the end of your life and we'll guarantee you 100 years on this earth. You know what I'd do? I would laugh in their face. I would laugh in their face. Because you don't understand the consequences of eternity. Just think. For a few measly years on this earth, you're put here to be tried and tested to see what you're going to do with the king. And at the end of those few years, some of you think you've been through hell on earth here. But you haven't. Listen to this statement. Those of you that are Christians that really do know Jesus, all the hell you'll ever know is right now. All the hell you'll ever know is what you're experiencing right now. But if you're not a Christian, all the heaven you'll ever experience is what you're feeling right now. Because those that don't know Jesus, when they die, they're going to go from this place to a place called hell. A place burning, a lake of fire, where the worm does not die, where he crawls upon your flesh, and he eats the flesh off of you and then spits it out and it comes back on your body and they eat it off again. Anybody want to go to a place like that? I don't. But God says everybody that don't believe in him had not had made Jesus Lord of their life. That's where they're going when they die. So that would be awful compared to anything you have here on this earth. You think you've been through troubles on this earth? You ain't seen nothing. Some of us grumble and complain because the water's too cold, or it's too hot, or the air conditioner's too cold, or it's too hot, or my car is too old, or it's too new, or whatever. I don't have a house like my neighbor down the street. Grumbling and complaining about everything. The shoes I got, they're not good enough. You walk down the street and find a man, he ain't got no shoes. How about him? Oh, well, maybe I ought to thank God for these shoes. Amen. There you go. That's the next thing. Well, Lord, I got a fungus on my toes. I'm grumbling about the fungus on my toes. Until you walk up and there's a man ain't got no feet. He don't have to worry about fungus on his toes. He ain't got no feet. Or what about a man that ain't got no legs? You know, we as Christians need to start praising God for what we got. You know? We really need to start doing what Psalms 150 says. Praise Him. When you wake up in the morning, okay, so you went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. I probably do that as much as anybody in this room. And then I get up early. And when I get up, if I go to bed at 2 and get up at 6, I wake up praising the King. I don't care how tired I may appear, I never say, I'm tired. None of you will ever hear me say, I didn't get enough sleep, Lord, I'm too tired. Because I know and understand the power of my confession. So I'm not going to say anything except what I want, because my body is listening. And it's going to respond according to the Word of God. When you get a hold of that, hey, I can do. You'll go through life. Somebody said, well, how are you feeling this morning? I might have just had 4 hours sleep last night. I said, praise God. I am absolutely magnificently wonderful, but I'm rapidly improving. Nancy, that's the only thing to say, girl. You know, I mean, you might have been feeling tired, but you know, hey, if you believe the Word, it don't matter what happens, you're going to stand strong on the Word. Then he says here, verse 37 says, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I don't want to give the whole world for mine, that's for sure. I wouldn't give it for the whole cosmos. I'm not going to give up my soul. Verse 38 says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory of his Father with his holy angels. If you're not willing to confess Christ to people that you come in contact with, you're ashamed of the King. We should never be ashamed of the King. A lady here a while back came up, talked to me about Jesus. I said, "Where's your, you married?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Where's your husband?" She said, "He's at home." I said, "Well, give me y'all's name and address, and I'll run by and visit him." "Oh, no, 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 no." She said, "I don't want you to do that." I said, "Why not?" She said, "You might drive him further away." I said, "Ma'am, if he's away, he's already away. You don't get no further than that." I said, "That's a devil lying to you." I said, "You give me his name, I'll go out there and kick that devil out of him. I'll get him back in church." Especially when people tell me, "I used to be a Christian. I used to go to church." I'm a little easier on those that have never been in church, that don't know Jesus. But if you tell me you were a deacon one time, you're a Sunday school teacher, and now you're out of church and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to sit down with you, and I'm going to have some choice things to tell you from the Word of God. And when I get through talking to you from what God said in His Word, if you don't repent of your sins and come back to God, I'm going to guarantee you it ain't going to be long until something devastating is going to come upon you. Nobody wants that, do they? Do you know what God told us to do? He said, "You see a brother sinning? Go out there and tell him." And he said, "If he repents, you've saved your brother from death." Most of us don't believe that, do we? Aren't you glad God's merciful and gentle and kind and gives us chance over and over and over? If he wasn't so merciful and kind, you know, I think about the people that, kind of like that woman up in the Baptist church the other day. I walked in, she was having trouble with somebody in the church. I said, "What's wrong with you?" She said, "Thurman, it's some of these people in this church." She said, "They give me so much trouble." She said, "Sometimes I wished I was God." I said, "If you were God, what would you do?" She said, "I'd kill some of them. That's what I'd do." I said, "I sure am glad you ain't God." Did that tell me she's a little upset with some of them people? Yeah, let me tell you, those people are normal people. You know, it's like the woman told me the other day on her testimony. She called me and she said, "I wished I'd have known what you teach 50 years ago. She said, "I met a man and started going with him. And said he was a great man, I thought. And said he finally asked me to marry him." So she said, "I thought, hey, I'd love to spend the rest of my life with this man." So she said, "I got married to him. And then I found out beyond my wildest dreams, he was an alcoholic." She said, "This guy was on vodka, said he was drinking even when I was with him at times, but I couldn't smell it. And I didn't know that he was drinking. But after we got married, said, bam, it came out instantly. He comes home drunk." And she said, "For 5 years, I tried everything known to man to get him to change." 5 years later, she said, he came home one night. He was so drunk, passed out right in the front door. I drug him in. And she said, "God, you know what I ought to do with him?" She said, "I ought to kill him." She said, "I don't want to spend my life with this guy. I've been deceived." But she said, "Lord, I know you said in your word that no murderer has eternal life, and he ain't worth me going to hell for. So I ain't going to kill him." But she said, "I'm thinking about it." It's probably some of you girls thought about that about your husband a time or two in your life, maybe. When he wasn't too easy to get along with, well, let me tell you, he ain't worth going to hell for. So get that out of your mind. And do what she did. You know what she did? She said, "After 5 years, I got so mad and so upset. I said, God, if you can do anything with him, you have him. I don't want him." She said, "I turned him over to God." She said, 2 weeks later, he quit drinking, and for 45 years, he's been the best husband any woman ever wanted. She said, "If I'd only known that 5 years earlier." She said, nobody taught these things. She said, I got a hold of your teaching. I thought, oh, God, if I only had this kind of teaching many a year ago. But she said, I didn't have it. But see, when she turned him over to the Lord said, oh, I've been waiting for you to give him to me. You've been trying it. And it, let me tell you, girls, if you haven't figured it out yet, you can't change your husband. When you marry him, he only gets worse. Cheryl used to say, even about me, she said, look out there, and she's in the congregation, she'd say, wow, I wonder what it would be like to be married to a perfect man. And then the Lord brought her into my life, and I married her, and she found out I wasn't nowhere close to perfect. She found out I had problems just like you do, Jeff. Or just like you, Eldon. We have problems, don't we? We try our best to walk with God. But we make mistakes or do things that you don't like once in a while. You know, so that's just the way life is. Is that right? Sure. That's the way life is. Don't hit him. Don't hit him. The Lord said, love him. Now be careful. Mark 8. Mark 8. Let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Oh, I already read that. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, Luke 9. Go to Luke 9. Yep. Luke 9, 23. The Lord made these kind of statements in lots of places. What we are supposed to do to be His children that walk in His anointing and His power. And it is costly, but it's worth it. I love seeing God do these wonderful things. Look what He said in Mark 9:23. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoso will save his life shall lose it, but whoso will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gains the whole world and loses himself? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Luke 12. Turn to Luke 12. Luke 12, 34. Luke 12, 34. It doesn't take me long when I'm around a human being to find out where their treasure is. Listen to what he said. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart and your treasure is in the same place. Is money your God? If it is, that's where your heart is. If money is just something you use for the glory of God, when you get to the point that God can trust you with money, He will give you more. If He can't trust you with it, just think about the man that the Lord, he came to the Lord and said, Lord, what should I do to gain eternal life? And the Lord asked him a question, so what does the Scripture say? He said, the Scripture says, I am to love the Lord thy God with all my mind and heart and strength and my neighbors myself. He said, that's exactly what it says. Do that and you shall live. He said, but there's really one other thing that you lack. He said, what's that? He said, give all that you have to the poor and then come follow me. What? Lord, I'm a rich man. I got a big house and lots of money in the bank. Are you telling me I got to give all that away? He said, you really want to be blessed? Do that. And he went away and said, I can't do that. The king says, it's harder for a rich man to come into the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That tells you who your God is. If God can't trust you with money, if you're always hoarding it up and doing nothing with it, not doing anything fruitful for the kingdom of God, He will never bless you abundantly. But the Lord says, and you hear this scripture quoted in Deuteronomy a lot, He gives us the power to get wealth. God gives us the power to get wealth. I've heard that preached so many times, especially in some denominations, but I wonder why they don't read the rest of that verse. You know what the rest of that verse says? He gives me power to get wealth to further His kingdom on the earth. Somebody says, I think about a man, and many of you may know of this gentleman. He's been deceased for several years. But I talked to a man here in the Dallas area one time that came and picked him up. He came up here on an airplane, and they went over and picked him up to bring him. He was speaking at the seminary that day. He said, sir, how or what have you done to be so prosperous? He said, I give all that I have to the Lord. He said, what do you mean you give all? He said, well, when I learned that God commanded me to be a tither, that was only 10%. Then when I learned, that was under the old covenant. Then when I learned in Luke 6:38, He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Blessed down, blessed, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure you use to give, it shall be returned unto you. So I started saying, Lord, I don't want to give you 10 no more. I want to give you all of it. He said, well, how much do you give? He said, well, right now I'm giving 95% to the Lord, and I'm keeping 5. He said, how do you live off of 5%? Oh, he said, it's easy. That 5% still goes into the millions. The man built some of the most massive electrical dirt moving equipment in the world. One of the greatest electrical engineers that ever lived. And when he died, he left it all to the ministry, and still colleges and things are going on from what he did. And many of you know who he is. That's exactly right. R.G. Letourneau. Great man of God. How would you like to go through life thinking one day I might make it to be a millionaire? That would be awesome, wouldn't it? But this man, his goal was not to be a millionaire. His goal was to give 95% to God, and the man died a multimillionaire. Isn't that amazing? But he gave it to God. God found out right up front, I can trust Him with my money. So the more I give Him, the more He puts back into my kingdom. Isn't that amazing? He really denied himself, didn't he? He did take up his cross. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So his heart and his spirit was with God. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Now blessed, in Luke 12:37, blessed are those servants. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Are you watching for the Lord's return? Man, I'm looking for it. I don't know when the King's coming, but He's coming. Do you know it could be this year? Do you know it could be today for some of you? Did you know the Lord will come for a lot of people today in the Dallas area? Today? In fact, I just thought about something. I don't know whether those of you that got our email read it or not. Some of you got it. I'm sure we sent it to lots of people. There is a pastor in Oregon, Portland, that has received a dream, set of dreams from the Lord. And the Lord told that pastor to warn the people. And you don't have long to wait. He said he kept seeing this devastation that come upon Salem and Portland. And because of something, an earthquake or whatever, I forget, it was earthquake? Earthquake, and a dam broke, and then water come running into Portland and washed away a big portion of the city. And as they and it created some kind of a tsunami. I don't know what all it did, but he kept noticing, Lord, when is this going to happen? And then the next time they had the dream, they realized that there was a parade going on in town, and it was a signs and it was a group of homosexuals, gay perverts having a gay parade in Portland. And so he called the city to see if there was such a thing scheduled for this year. And it's scheduled on the 17th and 18th of this month. So, if you've got a loved one that lives in Portland or Salem, you might tell them they might go on vacation the 17th and 18th. Amen. Just to be safe. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm telling you, when prophets of God speak, I'm getting to where I listen closer and closer to these guys, because I'm going to tell you that 12 days before New Orleans went away, there was a man on television pointing his finger and said, enough is enough is enough. God's fed up with what's going on in New Orleans, and he's going to destroy the city, and he's going to destroy it with water, and the dead is going to rise, and there's going to be a stench in that city because God is fed up with it. And you think, no way. 12 days later, New Orleans was wiped out. It pays to listen. He didn't say when. He just said it's going to happen. But this person said it's going to happen on the 7th, on the 18th. The parade's going to be the 17th and the 18th, but the 18th is the day that this is going to happen. Do you know that they were scheduled, the homosexuals were scheduled to have a big parade in New Orleans 1 week after it was destroyed. Y'all know that?
Yeah.
And did you know they come and reschedule that same parade for Houston, and the week before it happened in Houston, Houston had a big storm too? Isn't that amazing? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Did God judge Sodom and Gomorrah? Was it because of the perversion? I mean, everybody there was wicked. You talk about wicked. You can't even comprehend this. Here we got a few. A few. I mean, of course, the one in New Orleans, they said there was going to be 100,000 of them down there. That's still just a few compared to the number of people that live there. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, all of them were wicked. When the two angels walked into town as men, it said the other men wanted them. And Abraham prayed and interceded and said, God, if I can just find 50 righteous people in that city, will you not destroy it? You talk about a merciful God. What did he say? If I can find 50, I won't destroy it. And then Abraham said, you know, Lord, I was over there one time, and it might be awful hard to find 50. Maybe 45, 40, 30, 20. God, don't be angry with me, but Lord, I've been over there before and I've seen the wickedness. Maybe 10? And what did God tell him? If you can find me 10, I will spare the city for the sake of the 10. But he didn't find them. And so he destroyed it. Is he merciful? Oh, man. He is so merciful. But he's still a God of judgment, isn't he? Yes, he is. He's a God of mercy. And that's when we come to him as the church, when we come in and learn he's the healer, he's the deliverer, he's the provider, and we come in and repent of our sins, say, Lord, I believe your promises. I believe your word. I repent. Lord, I've been beat up on by the devil. Will you set me free? He said, sure, my little daughter. He puts his arm around you and said, yes, I'll deliver you and set you free. Now then, get in my word and start learning who you are. And he will set you free. And you can live the abundant life. Then he says here, in verse 38, and if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so looking for him, watching for him, blessed are those servants. So what's he trying to tell you? Look for his coming. Do we know when he's coming? Nope. But we know it's one day closer today than it was yesterday. And it may be today. It may be tomorrow. For some people, it will be today. Many he will come for today. do you know, whenever the king comes for you, if it be at death, that's your rapture. You will leave this earth and you will go out into the spirit. And to think, what an honor for the angels to come and get you. But can you imagine the honor if the king himself comes to get you? I think about a little lady that I knew for years. She was 80-something years old. I can still see her walking in that Baptist church with that little red dress on. Just a real little frail lady. And taking them little bitty short steps. I thought, what a saint. How that woman loves God. How she had raised her family and prayed over them and all the things she had done. And she had a 65-year-old son that was a strong Christian man. But at 65, something happened and he died. But at 80-something, I forget, 88 or whatever she was, all of a sudden she comes down kind of weak, has trouble standing. So that first thing to do now is to run her over to Denton to the hospital. I mean, that's what we do as good Baptists. That's just the way we do. So she's over there in the hospital, and the preacher of the Baptist church, and Justin, a few years ago that was there, he thought one Wednesday afternoon he'll go over and visit with her. But when he got over, she was comatose. Either that or she's asleep. They couldn't wake her up. So I thought, well, I'll just sit in a room with her and read a book for a little while. Just sitting there reading a book. And all of a sudden, she opened her eyes and turned and looked. And she didn't see him sitting there. She looked over and she said, John. That was her son that had died when he was 65. John. She said, that's you. And John, she said, that's Jesus with you. And she reached her little hand up and said, Jesus. And dead. The pastor said, when I could get up, I walked over to the edge of that bed and I saw she was gone. He said, I called the nurse and they came in and she was deceased. And that night, at Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting, he said, you talk about making a man tremble. He said, I was sitting right there when Jesus walked in that room. He said, I couldn't see him. But obviously, she saw him and her son, John, come to get her. Wow. John, that's you. And John, that's Jesus with you. Reached up to take his hand and just grasp his hand and the little hand fell down. And her and John and the king were on the way back to the third heaven. Woo! Is that going to be good, Jeff? Woo! No, we ain't quite ready. We got some things to do on this earth yet. Don't you get no hurry to run off. You ain't ready yet. I know you may think that the devil's beat up on us lots of ways, but he's got things for you to do. You're too young to go home. And I rebuke that statement in the name of Jesus. You take him home, Mama, and you get him off of that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord for a woman that's going to take authority there. Praise God for a good woman, Jeff. She's going to keep you straight, son. Praise the Lord. Debbie, you don't slack up on that. You keep him straight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now look what the king says here. Verse 39. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. If you knew there was a thief coming to your house, you'd set up something to keep him out, wouldn't you? You and I need to pray over our houses regularly and leave our angels in charge when we go away. That's like one night I pulled up into the hotel up in Nashville. And I pulled into the parking lot. I was staying at this hotel. I went up there to look at a truck that we had lost. Somebody had stole it, and we found it. I went up there to look at it, and I stayed at this hotel in Nashville. when I pulled up there, a guy says, come walking by, I'm standing there by the car, and he said, sir, could I see your room key? I said, sure, no problem. Pulled it out, handed it out. I saw he was a security officer. I said, what do you want this for? He said, well, I just want to know that you and this car are attached, that you're staying here. I said, what's wrong? He said, we've had a few cars broken into here lately, so they hired me to watch it. He said, I drive around this place on a regular basis. I said, you don't have to worry about mine. He said, what do you mean? I said, I leave my angels in charge of mine. I said, they keep every devil of hell away. When I go in, I say, angels, you boys do a good job taking care of my car. I got to tell you this story. I just thought about an angel. The other day, Ty, he's been learning how to fly. And he didn't do too good of landing on one of them. And you know what the first thing he did? He said, angel, you are fired. I want another one. See, that's the word of God say. Do you not know that we will judge angels? Say, so yesterday when he called, said, I'm going flying again. I said, today you're going to solo. I said, Lord, send him an angel. And then I said, no, Lord, send him one on the left wing, one on the right wing, and one on the nose gear. And this way he can't miss. He'll land that thing right in the center, and today he's going to solo. Well, last night just before dark, he called and said, this is Captain Davenport speaking. I said, you solo, did you? He said, yes, praise God. And he said, after he talked to me a few minutes, he said, now that I've told you, I'm going to call my wife. He called me first and tell me that he had soloed. Oh, me. Keith, you remember those days? That's a long time ago for you, wasn't it? Keith probably got miles upside down in an airplane than most of us have living. Even flew fighters and everything else, you know. So, I mean, I've never been upside down in my life, but Keith, he flew upside down right side of everywhere else, did you, Keith, in those fighters. Some of us experience different things in life, you know, and for a man that's flown fighters and big jet airplanes for years and everything, it's a piece of cake, but he has to go back and relive that time because he come back to the same day, just like Ty and I have. At one time, I remember the day I soloed in an airplane and I took that thing around the pattern by myself the first time too. It was an exciting day. You know, it's exciting, you know. There is some exciting things in life. If you have not experienced those things, you need to. You know, it may not be flying, that may not be your trick. But something, God has got so many things for you out there to do as His children that are exciting. You know, life is exciting when you serve God. If you're bored, get in the Word and tell the Lord, Lord, I want to do something for you. Yeah, I mean, I'm available. Use me for your glory. I'm denying myself today. My heart is with you. My treasure is with you. Use me for your glory. And get out and look in that mirror. Go in the bathroom and look in there and say, God, look at that thing in the mirror. Wow. You in that thing. There ain't nothing me and you can't do today with you and me, Lord. Let me at them. And go out there and do something for Jesus. You'll be able to win people to Jesus. I mean, you'll be able to get people saved, healed, delivered. I mean, life will become fun. Meet somebody on the street. Stop them and pray for them. Do something for Jesus. If you don't do something for Jesus, you're never going to see Him do anything. You've got to get out there and do something. A guy called me into a Bible study class here a while back in a Baptist church I was at. He said, Thurman, why is it that when you lay hands on the sick, they get healed? I said, well, let me ask you a question, brother. When's the last time you laid hands on somebody and expected them to get healed? He said, well, I ain't never touched nobody. I said, that's why you don't never see nothing happen. Because you don't walk up and lay hands on them and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Devil, come out of her. Or him. When you do that, you're going to see some wonderful things happen every once in a while. You got to learn to stand on the Word. Verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. How many people do you know? Like, for instance, I'll go back to my family. on October the 13th of 2001. I had no idea that morning at 6 o'clock when Betty and Amanda got up to go to a birthday party that in 2 hours the King of the Universe was going to come for those two girls. Do we know? No. Was I even thinking about that? No. But today I'm not thinking about it either. And I'm not going to think about it, that He might come for you or me today. But you don't know that. But every morning when I get up, I worship the King and I praise Him and I do the best I can to never grumble and complain. I've learned the King don't like grumbling and complaining. Let me ask you a question. If you've got a child, a loved one, a spouse, and all they do is grumble and complain, do you like it? I think about this woman that I was talking to here a while back, and she says, my husband hardly ever spends any time with me. I said, I don't know you very well, but if I was married to you, I wouldn't spend much time with you either. What do you mean? I said, all the time you're grumbling or complaining or even telling me how to do things. I said, I'm not even married to you. And you're always trying to tell me what to do when you're around me. I said, if you're doing that to me, I know you're doing it to your husband. And I said, grumbling and complaining? I can only imagine what you do to your husband if you talk to me like this. I said, do you want me to tell you how to get your husband to come home? She said, how? I said, when he walks in the door tonight, walk up and say, ooh. Put your arms around him and say, wow, do I love you? He's probably going back home and say, what happened to you today? Just tell him I've changed. I love you. What would you like for dinner tonight, honey? What? You're asking me what I want for dinner? Yeah, and I'm going to fix it for you. She said, you got to be kidding. I said, no. This woman only been married to this man 45 years. He didn't tell her he loved her. Anyway, she went home and she walked in and he was sitting over in a chair and she walked over and grabbed him and picked him up and put her arms around him. Here they've been married 45 years. Pulled herself up against him and looked him right in the eye and kissed him one time real nice and said, honey, I want to tell you how much I love you. And I want to fix your favorite supper tonight. He said, something wrong with you? That's exactly what I told her he was going to say. She said, nope, nothing. What do you want for dinner? I'm going to fix it for you. Well, just fix anything. No, I want to fix what you want. So he finally told her. So she went in and fixed it. And she said, every day when I come home, I would tell him how much I loved him, and I started being a totally different woman. She said he had not bought me a card in years of no kind. Birthday, Valentine, nothing. But she said after just a few weeks of telling him how much I loved him and being that sweet, gentle wife I had not been and kept my mouth shut and didn't tell him how to do anything unless he asked me. If he asked me for my input, I'd give it to him. If he didn't ask, I didn't give it to him. I just let him do whatever he wanted to do. She said, Valentine came. And I come in one day, and here's this beautiful card sitting there on a table with my name on it. She said, I opened it up, and I looked in it, and it said it was to me, but it was not signed by name. He didn't sign his name. He just said, love. And she said, I looked over at him. He's sitting in there. I said, honey, did you put this card on the table or did one of the boys do it? They had grown boys, you know, big grown boys. He said, no, I did it. She said, I can't believe after all these years you finally bought me a card. When she told me that, I said, woman, if you wasn't a woman, I'd slap you right in the face. I said, you've done everything right until that. And you messed up there. You should have said, thank you, honey. Run over and grab him and kiss him. Well, she said, well, Thurman. I said, no. You got to learn, if you want your husband to come home, you want him to talk to you, you got to make life interesting at home. He don't enjoy being home if all you do is grumble and complain. I said, you want him to be at home with you? I said, I can tell you why he's not at home with you. It totally changed that woman's life. She started coming to my Sunday school class on a regular basis. One day she told me, she said, whatever you do, don't ever stop teaching what you teach. She said, it has changed my life forever. Hey, for all of you women here that are having trouble with your husband, you need to read the Word and do what the Word says. You need to learn how to pray and learn how to be quiet. You know that? You know how hard that is? There's a wife and a woman over here shaking. I know how hard that is. When my husband starts to do something, I mean, I've got to tell him how to do it. He couldn't possibly do it on his own without my input. That's what y'all think. But you might be amazed. Give him a little rope. Let him live. Let him make his decisions. Let me tell you all another story about where Cheryl and I went to an Assembly of God church in the last couple of years since we've been married. We went to Assembly of God church, and the pastor there, the woman that was there when they picked us up, she could barely talk. Pastor's wife. They had, what, honey, four sons. So Cheryl's in the back talking to her, and I'm talking to him, and she's having trouble hearing her. The little lady can just barely talk. We finally, after the first day, we call them out to the little cabin we're at, and I said, you know, we need to talk to y'all, because I believe that y'all are under a curse from God, and I believe it's your fault. So we sat down and talked, and as we do, I said, explain to me what your wife does to you that you don't like. He said, she's always telling me how to do everything, especially drive. He said, we can get the car and start down the road. She said, you're over the line, a little pull back to the left. He said, I may be driving 1 mile an hour with the speed limit. She says, you're speeding, slow down. You're not stopping quick enough. Brake a little more before you get to that stop sign. And then he said, it finally, after a while, gets to here, and I lose it. And I just tell her, woman, would you shut up? It's your mouth that's my problem. And guess what? She had had surgery how many times? Twice already on her vocal cords. And now then, they're going to want to do it the third time, and this time they're going to take out her vocal cords, so she's not going to be able to talk, and she was a singer in the church. I told her, I said, ma'am, your problem is you've not done what God says. You've not been the quiet wife. I said, your husband, he is the spiritual leader in the home, and you're trying to be the dictator in the home, and that's why your vocal cords are attacked. Yeah. And he was speaking word curses on her with what he was doing. Your mouth, woman, is my problem. And so as he's speaking these word curses, a pastor on his wife, I told him, I said, both of you need to repent and ask God to forgive both of you. And then, woman, you need to let him be the head of the house, and you need to stop telling him what to do. And they knelt there in that room that day, that afternoon. Both of them prayed, asked God to forgive them, and promised God that they would both be the leaders. He would be the leader, and she would be the spouse, the wife, and not tell her husband what to do. We went to church that night, and Cheryl was going to sing a song. She reached out, looked out and saw her out there and said, come up here. And she came up there. She handed her a mic. This woman hadn't sung in a long time. She sang at the beginning with Cheryl, and she done extremely well, but she couldn't hit the high notes. And the church, when they got through singing that song, the church gave her and the Lord a standing ovation. But after the teaching was over, they came up and sang another one, and this time she hit every high note to the top. And that woman was miraculously healed right there. Is that amazing? See, God give everybody a position of authority, and he tells us what to do. And for those women, is that some of you, you know, have to take and put about three layers of duct tape around your mouth because you can't not tell your husband what to do. I mean, I'm serious. Let him be the man. Let him be in charge. If he asks your input, give it to him. And then if he don't want to do what you want him to do, then, you know, turn him over to God. Say, God, he's the spiritual leader. I'm not responsible for the family, Lord. He is. I'm just responsible to love him. That's all I'm supposed to do. In fact, that night, one night after church, Cheryl and I was going home, and I made a statement, and she didn't like it. And she got extremely upset with me and began to read me the riot act. Well, I waited about 15 minutes, and she finally quit talking, and I said something else. And she didn't like that either, so she read me the riot act again. Now, nobody all ever had this problem but me and Cheryl. But see, I'm honest. I'll tell you all about our problems. We're not perfect yet, but we're working on it. So we get out to the place, and I get out of the car, and I'm unloading stuff, and she's going in, unloading the car, and she is talking to God. Lord, this man that you gave me, what am I supposed to do with this guy? And if I ever needed help from the king, that night I needed help. Keith, you know what I'm talking about. We've been there. I'll show you how lucky you about there, girl. I mean, we're living days, guys and gals. Give me a break. So, I mean, I'm going through the minister's center. I'm out to unload the stuff. In a few minutes, she comes to the door. Looks out the door and she says, honey, are you out there? I said, yes. She said, are you about through out there? I said, yes, I'll be back just a minute. I walked up to the door and she's crying. I said, and she grabs me and hugs me. And I said, wow, what happened? She said, well, I was in there asking the Lord, what I'm supposed to do with you? And he spoke to me and he says, love him. Just love him. That's all you're supposed to do. Just, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this man you give me? He says, just love him. When she said that, she's crying. I looked up and I said, thank you, Lord. I sure don't need that tonight. Let's be honest. How many of y'all have needed a word like that from God besides me and Cheryl? Let me tell you, I think we've all had those kind of days, right? All of us have, because we're human beings. Some of you think, hey, you're the pastor, you're perfect. Well, let me tell you, don't let me bust your bubble. But I am not perfect yet, but we're working on it. You know, but we're getting closer. And by the way, for those of you that don't know, day after tomorrow, I'm going to be married to this beautiful girl for 2 years. Our anniversary is day after tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. Now, some of y'all say, well, that ain't very long. Well, you know, we're going to, when I get, I told her the other day, that when I get to be 100, you know, 65, 75, 85, 95, 105. Okay, so 105. I said, when I get to be 105, we'll be married 40 years.
All
right. You know, 40 years. And I said, I'm still going to be running and jumping, and I'm still going to be doing just like a 17-year-old. Ain't going to be no difference. Ain't going to be no difference. You know, I mean, you don't have to get old unless you want to. I saw some men today that I know were probably only in their 70s, and they could barely get around. And last Tuesday, a week ago, Ty and I went out to the airport for a gentleman to fly us to Independence, Kansas. And I noticed he looked a little bit older than me and Ty. And we went out and got in the airplane. We took off. And I said, did you fly for the airlines? He said, yeah. He said, I was a captain for America. I said, I retired from them at 60. I said, oh, you did? I said, how long ago was that? He said, 23 years. He retired from America when he was 60, and he'd been retired 23 years, Keith, and he's 83. You know that? And he flew us up there, and you would never have known. This guy's 83 years old. He's still out there flying every day, hauling people around, and just having a ball. One knee tie. Yeah, just having a ball. Now, he didn't see himself as old. He saw himself as young. See? Now then, if you see yourself as old, what are you going to do? You're going to get old. But if you see yourself as young, you're going to be young. And this man didn't see himself as old. Now, the Lord told us here, in verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. So none of us know. Oh, communion. I forgot communion. Today is communion. So I'm right at the end of my message, and we're getting ready for communion. Thank goodness for those that warned me, but I was just fixing to get ready, or fixing to quit the service. But what I'm trying to say here is walk with God, be obedient to His Word, serve Him, because you and I do not know when we might be taken out. Now, we hope that's a long time from now. We're going to confess the right things. We're going to believe, just like you said, we're going to grow old together. You ain't ready to leave, Jeff. I don't care what you say. With a woman like you got, you're going to be here a long time. So you're going to be serving God. So now then, what we're going to do, we're going to take communion right now. Let's take everything and pass it out here. The first Sunday of every month, we take communion. And Melody's going to play us some music while we're getting ready for this. Let's pass this out as we pass out the bread and the juice. The Lord says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. He says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing with me. So I want you, in a moment of seriousness, I want you to examine your life. If there's any known or unknown sin in your life, I ask you to come before the throne of grace and ask the King to forgive you right now and heal you, and realize that His body, discern this body correctly. He says in His Word, those that do not discern my body correctly, many of you are sick, weak, and even many of you die early because you have not correctly discerned my body. The body, His strength. The body is healing. The body is power for your body. It gives you power to walk in divine health. I didn't know these mighty promises for many years as a Christian. And I had a lot of sickness and disease until I was 45 years old. But at 45 years old, I learned this magnificent word, sozo. And that word set me free. That word sozo means those five things right there. Saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved. And when I got a hold of that, and I received the King as my healer, my deliverer, my provider, my Savior, my Lord, and my God, by faith, from the day I knelt on my knees in that floor and held my hands up and received Him as all of those things, by faith, from that day to this, I have never had a sick day. I have walked in divine health. It's a wonderful thing. Even though when the devil comes, like he did to Brother David and attacked him, and he's done that to me a few times, you don't yield to the devil. You realize you've got power over him because of the blood and the body of Jesus. He has defeated the enemy for you and given you power and authority over him and made him subject to you. You don't have to suffer with sickness and disease if you can believe the Word of God. I know I've walked it out and proved it in the last 20-something years. And He's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for you He done for me. And then when I began to believe that I was who He said I was, think of this. You're a new creature. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. A child of the King, that all the spiritual blessings are given to you. Everything that was available to Jesus is available to you. And you and I should be able to walk in the same divine power that our King did, because He was a man and we're a man. Whether you're male or female makes no difference. And when you get a hold of what you can do as a son of God, it'll change your life forever. You'll walk holy in obedience to His Word. and you'll realize what this piece of bread, which represents his body, which has been pierced, which is striped, all this has been beaten for you, so that if you'll walk in obedience to his word and walk in faith, by his stripes, you were healed. Not going to be, you were. It's already done. He's given you the power. You don't have to let the devil come beat up on you no more. Revelations 11:12 says, and they overcame him, the devil, with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's how we overcome him. We can beat the devil in everything when we walk in faith, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Father, I thank you for this piece of bread I hold in my hand, which is a symbol of your mighty body that your Son Jesus came and he gave for us, so that he might destroy the works of the devil and give us all power over him. Lord, help us to rightly discern the body so we don't ever have to be sick or afflicted again. There's healing in this. And I praise you and thank you for that healing that's already been given and done. It's mine by faith. I take it by faith. So I walk in divine health. I have abundant life, Lord, because you come to give me life and give it to me abundantly. And you did it through the blood and the body. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for forgiving me and my mate of all sin. Everything we do that's not according to your word, Lord. And I'm sure there's things we do that we don't even know we do wrong. But Lord, we repent. And we want to walk holy in obedience to your word. And we thank you, Lord, that it's not by our righteousness we get these prayers answered, but it's by faith in you, Jesus, the King of Kings, the one that had no sin. It's by faith in your name we get this done. So thank you, Father, for this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. The most powerful thing in the universe is the blood of the Lamb. And to think you and I have the privilege of drinking this cup when you wake up in the morning. If the numbers are right, if you're a born again, spirit-filled Christian, you're in the minority of about 2 or 3% of the people in the world that know the King. If you can't jump out of bed screaming and worshiping and praising the King because of that, you've got a real problem. To think, when I think of the privilege that I have to know this King as my Savior, when probably 90%+ of the world has no knowledge of who he is. But yet I've had the privilege to have this book in my hand and to see him do the mighty miracles and the healings and the wonderful things that he's done. You and I, as children of God, are the most blessed of all people on the earth. And what do? Go around grumbling and complaining. I can't believe the grumbling and complaining I hear among Christians. We ought to be screaming, praising the Lord. I don't care what happens to you this week. Praise and worship the King, because you're a child of God. Worship Him. Praise Him and thank Him. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, I don't care what it looks like. Even before you can go outside, wake up and say, Lord, I don't know what it looks like outside, but it's definitely a beautiful day in my heart. I am worshiping you and praising you and thanking you because you're the King of Kings. I want to thank you that you bore my sin for me so I don't have to sin no more. You bore my sickness and removed my disease so I don't have to be sick no more. Lord, today you delivered me from the forces of darkness. And you preserve me so I can walk in divine health Lord, I praise you for the blood. Now I'm going to go out today and you're going to do something through me. I'm going to die to me and you're going to live through me. And today we're going to do something wonderful for you, Lord. I make myself available to you. My treasure is you, Lord. If you give me a dollar today or a 500 million, I'm going to use it for your glory. I'll never let money control me, but I will control money for your kingdom. But I'm not going to let anything else control me. I'm not going to let the television control me. I'm not going to let the radio control me. I'm not going to let people control me, but I'm going to let you control me because of the blood. Lord, I praise you and thank you for this blood. Lord, what a privilege to be able to drink this blood. Father, thank you for what Jesus did for us on that cross. Oh, Lord, help us to get a hold of it. Help us to walk in it. Help us to learn that we're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. We're not just overcomers. We're more than overcomers. Thank you, Lord, that you said that those of us that will learn these things, Romans 5:17, that we will reign in life with you now. Not when we get to heaven, but now, because of the blood. We could not do it without the blood. But help us this week, Lord, to grasp the new covenant that's ours as we drink this blood. Thank you, Father, for this blood. In Jesus' name, amen. And this week, may the scent of that blood be upon your breath. As you breathe in the face of the enemy, may it be repulsive to him, that he will leave as you breathe by faith the precious blood of Jesus in the face of the enemy. So you can walk in power and abundant life. Study the Word. Read it. And learn who you are in Christ and what you can do in the name of Jesus. Now for those of you that are new here, all the media back there is free. You take any you want. Get you a sack. Take what you want. Give it to whoever you want to. Listen to it. I guarantee you it'll change your life forever. Give it to your neighbors and your friends. Somebody's got something they want to hear, or you got a neighbor that needs something, you walk back and say, Lord, I need the right CD or DVD. And he'll take you right to the right one. He knows far better what's on every one of them than I do. But he will give you one that'll change somebody's life. Get them and send them to your friends, because I don't charge for them. God gave them to us. And if you want to donate to our ministry, the box is over there. As you leave, if you want to give a donation to the ministry, it's there. But if you do give to the ministry, don't just walk over and drop a check in there or dollars in there. Say, Lord, you said given, it'll be given unto you. So I'm going to give to this ministry because this is good soil. And Lord, I expect a return on my investment. You ever seen a farmer that planted seed that didn't expect it to come up? Never. I did never go out there as a farmer and sow seed, did not expect to get an abundant harvest. Well, that's seed. So when you give, tell the Lord, Lord, I expect an abundant harvest in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand and sing that one wonderful song. How he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. But no good he gives. You if you need to be prayed for after this prayer, we invite you to come up. If you want to stand around and talk, you're welcome. If you're through today, you're welcome to go home. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for this beautiful day. We praise you for your word. We praise you for the wonderful things you do for your people. We want to thank you in advance for all the answers to prayer, for those that will come up today. Those that we've already prayed for today, I want to thank you for answering those and setting them free. I praise you, Father, that this is your house. We love you. We praise you and thank you. And ask you to bless everybody that was here today and continue to bless them this week as they go forth and do things for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.